I think we'll continue in this direction. We happen to have a handout for you. This river must flow. Could you pass that out for us? That was what was just quoted from. And maybe it would be appropriate for us this morning to read this in its entirety. As was mentioned by Sisterman this morning, our theme for our camp season this year is entitled Pilgrims in Progress, the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life. If you're on staff, you should have received this. Hopefully you have read it. If not, do so while you're here. And certainly for each day, take some time to look at the scripture and the thoughts that are written there for us. The theme verse for the year is found in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. And we'll look there in just a little bit. But once you have this, did everybody get one? Did we have enough? Everybody has? Okay. This was given to us last week. I guess it was last week. At the minister's prayer retreat here, I think it was read in one of the evening meetings. So some of you might have been here and read this with us. It's worth reading again and again. What we'll do is just jump in and read a paragraph. Don't pause and wait. Then we have to call on people. So just take a paragraph, read it loud, please, and then somebody else just pick up and let's go through these thoughts here. Go ahead, somebody begin.
Many of God's people are feeling a sense of responsibility in relation to a spiritual awakening in the world. Before we are able to sense such a feeling of responsibility, our hearts must be awakened and quickened. Let us read Revelation 22, 1-7, then Ezekiel 47, 1-9. In this last passage, we may see a picture of the gracious moving of God in the pouring out of His Spirit upon the earth in our day. God has been pleased to visit the earth in marvelous ways down through the ages, and we stand somewhere along the line where the volume of this river described in Ezekiel is being increased in its flow to bring its immeasurable blessing. You remember that familiar passage in John 7:37-39 that seems appropriate in this relationship. Here the Holy Ghost in His outpouring and is likened to rivers of living water, not poured out at random over the whole countryside, but through lives that are yielded to Jesus Christ.
Julie, you can read the next paragraph, but I'm going to ask if there's something maybe that jumps out at you in this reading. We don't have a lot of time this morning, but maybe if God just lays something heavy on your heart as we read this, that we'll take a few minutes and maybe hear a thought from you. Briefly this morning, but keep that in mind as we read through this. Maybe God makes something jump off the page. Julia, please.
Okay. It is a known fact that the things of the Spirit of God, the marvelous provisions of this great salvation, were well nigh lost to the world a few centuries after the day of Pentecost and the establishment of the Church. And then out of the chaos of the dark ages, God began to uncover from the rubbish heap of religious accumulation those choices and valuable things that were provided in the gospel, but which were lost to mankind. Every time new truth has been brought forth, it has been because men have carried enough of the vision from God and have been sufficiently stirred that they held on to God in prevailing and persistent prayer. They have prayed through until it has seemed that by their persistence, they have punctured another cloud of heaven's blessing. Something more of God's grace has been brought down to the earth because they pressed through and touched God.
We have the exalted privilege of living in a day when something that has been lost through the centuries has been restored. It was restored in somewhat the same fashion as a large number of God's people who knew the word and trusted God's promises began to pray with a deeper hunger. Perhaps they didn't see what the end would be, but they were deeply concerned. At the beginning of this century, groups all over the world prayed for God to move, pouring out his spirit as at Pentecost. They read in the word how the normal church proceeded under the mighty anointing power of God. Souls were saved, men were brought into the kingdom, and the benefits of salvation were dispensed freely and generally. So they prayed for a renewal of that supernatural power. They prayed until they became more burdened. As we pray on, we get a clearer vision. Our desires deepen, and thus we pray more and more. So after praying for a while, we see more clearly that what we are seeking for is a glorious possibility. So we are constrained to press in and hold on to the promises until we receive the thing we desire. Every shackle of doubt is shaken from us as we pray, and we get the substance of that hoped for.
Now this Pentecostal revival, of which you and I, in the infinite grace of God, find ourselves a part, was begun in answer to this prevailing prayer, prayer in perfect accord with the will of God. So when enough of people on the earth became concerned about God's doing what he wanted to do, God did it, and there was a great religious awakening. Now we find ourselves moving along with a people who have yielded themselves to the Lord and are hastening towards the day when Jesus shall come back. We are moving along Ezekiel's river to the place where the water is quite deep. We are in the river, and the river is in us. John 7 says, out of his belly, innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Now, if I mistake not, we who call ourselves Pentecostal are occupying a most crucial position as God deals with us and draws out our hearts after him, getting us free from condemnation, clarifying our vision, moving us out into liberty we have not known before, touching our lives with his power in a new way. He is doing these things with a view to benefiting the whole.
Now, there is no doubt that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to produce in the world a church that is in one respect is the exact counterpart of the first century church. If we have been baptized by the Holy Ghost, the river is intended to flow through us. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We are part of this great Pentecostal fellowship through which the rivers are supposed to flow. If these rivers are not flowing, then we who have been laid hold upon by God to bring the waters to the world are damming up the river instead of being the channels God has chosen us to be.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost creates flowing rivers. Every religious movement that God has raised up was intended by God to be flowing rivers. But after they flowed a while, lo, instead of actually being part of the flowing current, the human instrumentality has become a dam across the river. Then God has gone to work on that dam. He has put the dynamite of the word in the dam to blow it up and get it out of the way so that the river could flow. And as fast as God dropped sticks of dynamite to blow it up, they patched it up again and made a denominational dam. God waited with patience and tried with his heavenly dynamite to blow out the obstructions. Every once in a while, there would be an explosion here or there, and people on the other side of the dam would get wet. But each time, men would patch it up again, and the dam would hold back the flow. Are we building a Pentecostal dam? What a responsibility is ours.
Here are some scriptures very familiar to us that stress our responsibility. May they move us to such intersection and concern for God's will to be done in the world that something will happen that will cause the bursting of dams and the flowing of rivers that will never stop until the whole world is reached. Go ye into all the world. Certainly since God poured out his Spirit in such a marvelous way, we have been going into all the world. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following, Mark 16:20. You say, don't we have signs following? Yes, thank God for what we see of signs, but oh, what God wants to do. What God is prevented from doing because we have thrown a dam across the river. That dam is built of all sorts of hard substance, unbelief, sins of every kind, professionalism, and the substitution of psychological and natural methods of doing things instead of absolute dependence on the Spirit of God. The dam has been thrown across, and God is trying to blast it out.
In Hebrews 2:4 we read, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. It is the will of God, not for something to happen at one place as the most outstanding and exceptional thing, and then away yonder another exceptional happening, but it is the will of God that along with the preaching of his word, there should be everywhere confirmation by signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. This is not a time for us to pat ourselves on the back, say we are all right, and believing we are realizing all the will of God for us. God is endeavoring to bring us vision, experiences that first make us bow in the dust, then release our spirits so that we can soar up into the presence of God, show us new objectives to move forward in the power of the Holy Ghost. He has been seeking to bring us into the place where we have a clear outlook upon God's spiritual landscape and God's purpose in the world today. If we have allowed a dam to be thrown across the river, whether we feel we are personally responsible for it or not, we should make it our concern. If we will take the burden upon us, then God will dynamite the dams and we will get a word from all around the world that the rivers are flowing.
Somebody must pray. Somebody must get under the burden. Somebody must trust God. God is bringing us up into his presence by clearing away obstacles and awakening new desires for himself. If we are satisfied to go out with a preaching message and do not want to see the power of God in signs following, confirming the word, then we are out of place.
Perhaps this is holding Jesus from coming back. He may be waiting for one more outstanding manifestation of his power as the word is preached. The word is being preached all right, but the manifestations and signs that should follow are not being seen in fullness, and the reason may be that we measure ourselves by the wrong standard. We look at other groups of religious people and consider ourselves in advance of them. We fold our arms and look at our accomplishments in a self-satisfied way. We may be unwittingly throwing a dam across the Spirit's Pentecostal flow. It is our responsibility to pray through until such dams are broken and the signs following are restored. We cannot pray any other way touching this matter and be praying in the will of God. The Holy Ghost prays through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. God has pledged himself to bring into cooperation with himself humankind who are willing to get under the burden.
God is looking at the Pentecostal movement today and is saying, I am looking for Pentecostal fruit. I am looking for deeds that are wrought in the Holy Ghost. What is he seeing? We must have God's power in our midst so that the scoffer who stands by and watches will be forced to say, it is beyond the realm of the human. It is supernatural. Have we permitted the construction of some dam? Let us pray until God puts the dynamite of his power under it and blows it up to pieces so that the water of the river of life may gush forth and flow on, sharing the wonderful life of the Spirit to all that it touches.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive us for not believing what you're able to do.
Yes.
Lord, you are so great and powerful. The Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
From everlasting to everlasting.
Jesus.
Help us to believe, Lord.
Yes.
Take away our unbelief, Lord.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Lord,
give us faith.
Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
As we read this, I was reminded of the many years at Care at Care, where we were taught that every staff member has a part in the manifestation of Jesus on these grounds. That it's important that every staff member behaves and has the fruit of the Spirit as they do their chores all around the camp. how true that is. We're reminded again from this article how it's important that we do our part in allowing the Lord to work among us. And that involves our thoughts, involves our attitudes. You know, this is a great place, camp is a great place to rub shoulders with people, to see a different side of them perhaps, people that may just turn us off instinctively, and how God wants us to overcome, to show love, to show patience, to show all the fruit of the Spirit. And by doing that, we will contribute to His manifesting Himself among us here at camp. It's very practical.
Yes.
Very practical. And we have choices. We have choices. And of course, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do that. May we walk in the Spirit these days as
yes.
we serve.
Yes.
Praise
yes.
the Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah. Wonderful.
That term praying through is one we used to hear, I think, a little more frequently than we do today. And I know my mother felt that praying through meant that I prayed until I knew that God had heard and that God was going to answer. I may not yet see the answer. It may be still coming. But I pray to the point that I know that I know that I know that God has heard and that God is answering.
Yes.
And I think that's probably what we need a little more of today.
Yes.
It's very easy to pray for 3 or 4 minutes or 10 or 15 minutes. But do we pray until we know? We know in our hearts that God has heard us and that God is answering. Whether the answer is delayed or not doesn't make any difference, because that's in God's timing.
Mm-hmm.
And when He's going to answer that prayer and how He's going to do it. But we pray until we know that we know that we know that God is answering prayer. And as it says in, I think, about that third paragraph, people who had prayed and they trusted God, they prayed with a deep hunger. They didn't see what the end would be, but they kept on praying until they knew that God had answered. And I think that's what we need to do.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
It says here that now we find ourselves moving along with the people who have yielded themselves to the Lord. This is a very great responsibility for us to move with God, and then the people that feel towards Him and are seeking Him, those are the people we should be with. And the Lord will, in fact, empower us so that others will know who the Lord is. And so we have to keep our eyes on Him and seek Him. What's wonderful to be in His presence is not just because we feel something, but we know that God is there. And even a child can know the Lord is in this place, in the place where we pray at home, and in the place we pray with others in God's house. It is just so wonderful. And and it's a place where God will check our hearts and help us to clear up with Him each and every time we approach Him. And that's how we could come to Him, the throne of grace. But the Pentecostal power really reaches, because when Christ came, He gave more of Himself and more in the time the church was open. The church started and they were first called Christians in Antioch, but the Holy Spirit came. So thank God he can deal in our hearts, but we need to yield to Him. It's very important. Praise Him.
Amen.